Your hair looks really cute. It's just all gone. Do you love it? Totally looks, you look different now.
Good morning, everyone.
Thank you.
Welcome, everyone. We're so glad to have you here this morning. We're going to take just a minute to recognize any first-time visitors that we might have today. Anyone here visiting us for the first time? Yes, ma'am. We'll get right there with you in one sec.
This is my mother, Virginia Shaw. Today she's 85 years old.
Oh, happy birthday, Virginia. Nice to have you here. Well, we're so glad that you've joined us this morning, and really a wonderful and blessed birthday for you. Okay.
On the back row, we have Judy Hopkins, Tanya Browse, and Deborah Hollis, and they don't stand. So take care of them. I think we have guests over here also.
And I think Mary Beth was going to introduce someone. Oh, wow.
Miss Hendrick's name is Nancy.
That's exciting. We love them. They're beautiful. Thank you so much.
And Larry, will you introduce the guest behind Miss Kathleen there? Welcome. I even wondered about you this morning, so good to see you.
We are so glad to have so many visitors this morning, and truly hope that y'all will just join us again and get to know our church family. I'm sure that there are some announcements that need to be made. Do check your bulletin for all updates, times, announcements, things that are going on. Make sure you read through that and...
Okay, there's two or three things. We've had a great response to Katrina victims' help. GraceWorks has taken in tons and tons of clothing, and their need right now, GraceWorks' need right now, is cash and our non-perishable foods. They may have enough clothing. You who have been there to work, but the people who are coming to Franklin to live on Columbia Avenue have not arrived yet. They expect them to arrive today. I think so. They're working on it. But anyhow, they still expect them to arrive today. But GraceWorks needs food and cash. Feed the children. Feed the children. The outreach committee is also working to help feed the children. And in the northeast corner of the gymnasium, there's a bunch of food. If you want to bring food to be distributed later in the month by Feed the Children, bring your food there. And they also have received numerous contributions in cash. And the outreach committee, Diane and Rebecca and Sonia have really worked with that. You got any word to say about that, Rebecca? $265 plus the trailer. Okay, let me think. Oh, and then Church World Service, we also sent a contribution to Church World Service, or to our Board of Missions, to be used by Church World Service. And so we're going in three directions. Some people choose not to give to one, but they desire to give to another organization. So that is how we're doing. Sam is local. He's going tomorrow. Today, you and L.D. Bell are going to Jackson to work with 40-something people, 53 people. At least it's going up. And they're going to help get some houses ready for people to come out of the coast and live in Jackson, Mississippi for a period of time. And that's about what I know about that. I had another announcement at the first service, but I forgot what it was. Do you remember? Where? Oh, right here. Bible study. We're going to try to have a Bible study on Monday at 1 o'clock, led by Becky Leonard. Becky Leonard will lead a 1 o'clock Bible study. Let's pause while the lights are. Christ is the light of the world. These lights represent Him and His Spirit being brought into our midst, though He's always here. Bible study at 1 o'clock on Monday. The first meeting will be Monday the 19th, which is a week and a day away. Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, the 13th, Gloria Job will meet with a group that at 10 o'clock on Tuesday. 10 o'clock on Tuesday. I had a sign-up sheet that went around or started around the first service. I've lost it. Do you find a sign-up sheet to sign up if you're interested in either of the Bible studies? But it was somewhere in here, but I don't know where I happened to. Has anybody seen it? We got about halfway around the 8 o'clock service. You don't have to sign up to be here, but if you want to, that'll kind of let us know who to expect or some of the ones to expect. I think that's all I better take time for. Oh, Lewis, just pass that around and pass it across the aisle as well.
There's obviously a lot going on, and we could probably sit here and I think talk about all that's going on and all that we need to do and just pray about where you fit into all that's happening right now and get plugged in and serve in whatever way God leads you. Do we have any prayer requests at this time? Anyone like to add to the prayer request list or praise?
Mr. Fuquay was taken to the hospital this morning. Ed Fuquay's father, it's a breathing problem, and he's had it a long time, but he got real bad last night, so they took him to the hospital this morning. Ed Fuquay, Sr.
Amy?
A gentleman whose name was Byron Diviner, and he had lost all of his family. He could not find them. There were about 100 family members missing, including his father. And I got a call from him this morning. He works at Dell, and we all kind of rallied around him. And one of his coworkers actually gave him his frequent flyer miles, so we got down there, and we all chipped in and collected money, and the company supporting him as well in this. But he called me this morning just before church and told me that he had found his father. And he has also located most of his family. So that is a huge praise, and I just want to lift that up, because I know that I sent it out to the choir, and I know they were praying about it for us. So thanks.
Ellen?
Prayer of Thanksgiving. My movie, Alan Sanders, is Helen Lowell on the interstate on the tire. She called me conditions almost unbearable every day. But I thank God
2,000 years ago, a Savior was born. And in the midst of all this darkness, we can see a light that is the true light of the world, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that we stand here, and we sit here and meet this congregation here in church this morning. A denomination that says, whosoever will may come, and that we serve a God who created us, a Savior who came and died and lives again for us every day, and the Holy Spirit who abides in us always. And we must keep that in mind.
Thank you, Mike. Yes, Christy. Anyone else?
I think we've done the handle on it.
The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. Lift up your heads,
O ye gates.
Lift them up, your ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory?
The Lord Almighty.
He is the King of glory.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 81. What a wonderful Savior is this King of glory.
What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior.
bow with me as we pray.
Lord God, we thank you this morning that you are such a wonderful Savior. Lord, you came to save us, but you did not just save us and fling us out into the world to make it on our own. You are with us each day. And Lord, we just thank you for that presence that you have promised even to the end of the age. Lord, we come this morning rejoicing in your blessings to us. And Lord, we just thank you for a time of celebration, a milestone that we have reached. And Lord, we are trusting in you to continue your guidance upon this, your people. Thank you for the privilege of serving in your name in this place. In the name of Jesus, we offer our prayer, even ourselves, and now we come praying like Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
We express our faith in God through our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. Please join me. I believe in God
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to Hades.
Third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven. And sit on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Christian Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Trust that you have a bulletin with an insert on one side is the closing hymn or the invitation hymn. On the other side is the service concerning the dedication of the windows. I grew up in Mississippi, so it slipped out then. Winders. Mary Beth Rowland has been instrumental in all of the stained glass in this building being here. And first, I want to invite Mary Beth to come. And are you going to assist Mary Beth, Lewis? Okay. Mary Beth's afraid to come by herself. So Lewis Justice is going to come and maybe speak for her.
I don't like to speak in public.
Speak up.
I like to talk to children.
Speak up.
I had kind of a vision about these windows, and the idea that I had was that a non-Christian, a small child, or any person that walked into this building would leave, and they would know the story of Jesus. And so I started going to different stained glass places and looking for books. And I couldn't find anything. There were no patterns. And I couldn't find a stained glass person because the lady that I, George, that did this window died, and he also did this one. And the lady, a friend of mine who did it, had quit doing it. So Lewis gave me the name of Luke, and he wrote it in such teensy little writing that I almost didn't call it because I couldn't read it. But I took my contacts out, and then I could see it fine. So I called Luke, and I met him. And it's just been a wonderful blessing to know him and his wife. And I think Mary Jo told you one Sunday about going to his shop and shooing the cat off the table. But he is, I think his belief comes through in these windows. And that was the purpose that I had for trying to pursue this. And when I said something to Larry, he didn't. Of course, he and I have differences of opinion on what's pretty and what's not. And he doesn't always know what's pretty, I don't think. But
this is not Rose Larry. Go ahead.
Anyway, he said, okay, if you want them, then you pay for them. And I said, but I can't pay for them. He said, well, you'll figure it out. And so he was surprised, I think, and I wasn't. But the money came in. In fact, we've got more money than we needed somehow. And that's my third grade math, I guess. But we've got enough to put a cross on the new back wall, a lighted cross, which is my next project. So if we don't have enough to pay for it, those of you who still want an opportunity will have another one. But I'm going to let Lewis introduce Luke.
Well, I first met Luke when I went to work for Nissan in fall of 91, and he sat about two desks over from me in the engineering department there, and we got to know each other. And one of the things that we usually end up talking about was our hobbies. Of course, mine was building furniture and woodworking, and Luke would always tell me about his stained glass. And so that's how we kind of got to know each other, and he would bring in some small projects sometime that I could see. One of the things he told me about, his home church had burned, and all their stained glass windows, of course, were destroyed. But he talked about going out and picking up pieces of the glass, and he had built this church. And I don't remember if it was a replica of your church that had burned, but it was beautiful work, and it was everything he brought in was just beautiful. So over the years, Luke retired and kind of lost touch with him, but when Mary Beth started talking about the windows, he kind of came to my mind. And when she said she was having a hard time finding anybody to do it, I said, well, look, let me call a guy that I used to work with that does stained glass. And so I did that. I called him up one night, asked him if he was still doing it. He said, sure, he'd love to take a look at it. So that's kind of how we got Luke hooked up here. And it's just an incredible job. It's beautiful what he's done. And I know that everyone in this church, and after we're all long gone, will still be enjoying these windows. And I'd like to thank Luke for putting such his heart and soul into this job, because I know this took a lot of time. Luke, I'd like to thank you.
Luke, do you have a word to say to us? Come up here if you'd like.
Also, we're going to do the dedication really in two stages. Part of it today, and then when we dedicate the building outside, the connecting building, we will acknowledge the givers of the windows and hope to, at that time, to have a plaque, either a plaque board or a plaque for the window sill of each one of them. So we're going to do part of it today, dedicate them to the Lord today, and acknowledge the givers, those who will allow us to tell who gave them when we dedicate that building. Luke?
I'd just like to say that working with Mary Beth has been fun. Okay, it's been fun. It's been challenging, too.
Challenging.
To say the least. Now, these windows have been a labor of love. I've enjoyed every minute of it. And when I do windows like this, I get more out of it than you will, because I guess part of me is in the windows. But thank you so much.
Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let us pray. Blessed and glorious Lord God Almighty, by whose power, wisdom, and love all things are sanctified, enlightened, and made perfect, be merciful unto us and bless us, we beseech thee, and cause thy face to shine upon us, that we may now do, that what we may now do may please thee, and show forth the honor of thy name, that thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I would like for the congregation to read together that next line. We accept these windows as a sacred trust and treasure them with reverence and gratitude. And now, in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, we dedicate them to the glory of God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Follow me around the wall, if you will, looking at the south wall at the rear. You can't fail to recognize this one, the birth of Jesus. How many times have we heard that story and relived that story, especially through the children? The next one, in the center on the south wall, Jesus walking on the water. One of the miracles that Jesus performed, many miracles He performed, this was the one chosen to illustrate His miracles. How Jesus loved the children, the south wall, the front window. The disciples tried to send the children away, but Jesus overheard and He kind of chastised those disciples and said, "Allow those children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God." And we learn much about the kingdom of God and how we fit in it from Jesus dealing with the children. The north wall, the front window, Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. The night of His betrayal, after the celebration of the supper that we will celebrate in just a few moments, He went out into the garden. He left His disciples alone to watch. And He went off by Himself to pray. Praise. And it was like drops of blood, the sweat on Him was. And then the center window on the south, the crucifixion. Jesus gave His life for us. We will remember that in the communion service in just a few moments. He died. He was buried, but He didn't stay dead. He overcame sin and death and rose to new life in the rear window on the north wall. Jesus being taken up into heaven on a cloud with the promise to return. And those angels looking on also reminded those disciples that looked on that He would come back to earth as He departed. Let us pray. Almighty God, who art the true light of faithful souls and the perfect brightness of thy saints, and who fillest heaven and earth with thy divine majesty, but who dost accept the offerings of thy children, graciously receive at our hands these windows, which we dedicate unto thee to the beautifying of this sanctuary, to the blessing, edifying of this thy people, and to the glory of thy great name. Amen.
Choir will bless us with the church triumphant at this time.
Excuse me, but there's been a change. Sorry, Larry. There was no place for me to tell you. The choir, the ladies will now sing Holy Ground. And in the place in your bulletin where they were going to sing Holy Ground, they will move that down to after the offertory to sing the Church Triumphant. So your bulletin is not very correct on those two songs.
His presence, and I.
it's children's time, please. Y'all come on up and join Andrea. I'm sure she has something fascinating for us this morning. So, what has she adopted this week? What do y'all think?
She's a woman out of my own heart.
Green light. There we go. Okay, I lost one already. That's not good. Good morning.
Good morning.
For several weeks now, I've been driving by a sign at a church. Y'all know I like to read little signs and stuff. And this church's sign says, "Do you believe in God or believe God?" And so, for you know, I'm a little slow, and you know, I've read that several times. And finally, I think this week it hit me. By the way, when I read this sign, I'm on the way to my daughter's house to have lunch with my granddog. So that's what I every once in a while I leave work and go have lunch with Chewy, and enjoy that quite a bunch. So anyway, again, it says, "Do you believe in God?" You know, we ask that self probably that before, and you know you do. And other people, though, do you believe in God or believe God? And then I thought about that, and I said, you know what? That really is a profound statement because, yeah, we believe in God. Probably any one of us here wouldn't hesitate to answer that, right? We're believers in God. But do we believe God? And what it means by that, in my interpretation, is, do we believe the blessings and the Word and what He said He's going to do for us? And do we go every day out knowing that and feeling good about it? So that's a good thing to ask ourselves, isn't it? It's a good thing. And the other day, I can't remember what day it was, I go down and get the newspaper every morning and I read little, I don't read the newspaper, I read just parts of it. I skim it before I drop it off at my mom and dad's house in the morning. And it said in there, probably crusades like Billy Graham does will end when Billy Graham is gone. And I thought, well, now what a ridiculous statement. Because I believe God, and I know that God is going to have someone come along to continue what Billy Graham started. There's no doubt in my mind. It might be one of you. So, you know, I thought, well, what a ridiculous statement. I didn't even want to read that story because I thought, what a ridiculous thing. And last night I happened to turn the TV on and Billy Graham was speaking. And he referred to a verse in the Bible. It's Malachi, and it's chapter 3, verse 6. And that verse says, and I want you all to listen carefully to this. Verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6. "I am the Lord. I do not change." Now, what better promise can we have than that? Can y'all say that with me? "I am the Lord. I do not change." Amen. The message is simple. And that's the great thing about Brother Graham is he always makes it simple and to the point. And I thought, wow, what a great verse. Say it with me one more time. "I am the Lord. I do not change." What a blessing. In a world where things are changing all the time, the Lord doesn't change. And you can go through life no matter what knowing that. Let's go up and sing with Miss Melody.
If you want to follow along, we're going to sing Thank you.
They don't know where to go. Our call to confession comes from Psalm 38:18. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Please bow your heads and pray. O Almighty God, give us grace to approach Thee at this time with penitent and believing hearts. We confess that we have sinned against Thee and are not worthy to be called Thy children. Yet do Thou, in mercy, keep us as Thine own. Grant us true repentance and forgive us all our sins through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our assurance of forgiveness comes from Psalm 145:8, and it says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love."
Let's turn in our hymnals now to hymn 563. Count your blessings. We're going to sing only the first verse. Count your blessings.
Blessing, if we can reflect on that for a moment, and I'm convinced that the greatest blessing that God has given us is the gift of salvation, eternal life, through His Son, who was sacrificed for us. Hear these words from the Gospel of Mark concerning the sacrifice of Christ and the institution of this meal that we used to remember Him, but not only to remember Him, trustfully, hopefully to relive in some way the sacrifice of Christ, the passion, the death, but also let us remember the resurrection along with Him. From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 22 and following, would you hear these words? And while they were eating, He took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take it. This is My body." And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And He said to them, "This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I shall never drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." We anticipate drinking anew in the heavenly kingdom of God. And we're anticipating that. But until that day comes, God's people celebrate, remember, and rejoice in His sacrifice for us. The elders will come, the active elders. I guess I'll start over here with John and Diane. And Jamie, do we have active elders in the center section? Pete, will you come? And do we have active elders over here in this section? Richard, Paul, and from the choir, Teresa. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And I need one more. John, will you come and assist us? Who is invited to eat from His table? The Lord's table? All Christians, all who trust in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, all who are trying to serve Him. You're with us today and from another congregation. But if you trust in Jesus, we invite you and even encourage you to join us as we remember Christ's giving of His life for us. Through the bread, we remember His body. A body broken for us upon Calvary. Again, we can turn to the north wall if you choose and see the cross in Christ's body upon. Of course, He did not stay there, but that tells us the suffering that He went through for us. Oh Lord, bless this bread. Bless it that it can be for us in these moments the body of Christ broken for us. Thank you. Thank you for this way to remember. Thank you that Jesus was willing to go to the cross. Thank you that you were willing for Him to go. In His holy name, we offer our thanks. Amen. As I have received, I am able to give to you. Will you eat remembering His body broken for you? And will you serve your neighbor? Likewise, when you are served, please take the element while your neighbor is still holding the plate, the container. That allows that neighbor to be a servant, even a priest unto you, and it allows you to be served in the name of Jesus. The cup. The fruit of the vine, representing His shed blood, shed for the remission of sin. Lord God, bless this cup. Through it we remember Christ's blood flowing for us. Thank you. Amen. If I have received of the cup, I'm able to pass it on to you. Please drink, remembering His blood shed for you, and pass to your neighbor and serve him. Please serve the people. People, let's remember His sacrifice for us.
We express our thanks to God through our offertory giving. Our offertory scripture today comes from Acts 20:35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Our ushers, please come forward.
Thank you.
away, but Brother Rudolph has traveled over 150 miles to come preach to us this morning, and we're going to give him more than 5 minutes. As you just pass through the park, you know, he'll understand, but he might call you back because he's already called. But I welcome Addie Rudolph to this pulpit. How many were here when he was here before? You over here? So most of you, he's a new person, but I done heard this message, and I'm going to hear it again. I even took notes the first time in case he got sick between the service and it was something I could have preached for him. But we're pleased, honored, blessed to have Brother Andy Rudolph to come and speak for God. And he includes that statement, I think, in his sermon. So come and share the word with us. God bless you. Well,
to you that did not know me and came this morning to worship, you have my sympathy. But to you that have heard me and came anyway, I have no sympathy for you. I thought a while ago I was going to see something new. When you go to different churches, you see new things. But Larry this morning, in making the announcements, when he said we're going to have a dedication of the women, or was that Windows? Well, I misunderstood. And I thought that was going to be a new one. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. You might have been misled why I'm here. But really, ministers have a code in which they will not get somebody to speak for them that can preach better than they can. So Larry was safe. I've quit having revivals because I can't find anyone in that category to speak for my church. They're always better speakers. So it's good to be here. I was thinking when it came that there's a story that Jerry Patton, which is John and Kathleen was their son-in-law, when he graduated from Presbyterian Seminary in Louisville, he stayed with them for a couple of weeks, before he got located in his church in Florida. And he told this story, and I've gotten a lot of mileage out of it. I think it's great. During the Depression, maybe most of you don't remember that. If you don't, ask John, he can give you details. That's when we had a ham bone and we made soup out of it and we cooked it in the beans and we just used it to the fullest extent. But this was a terrible time. People couldn't get a job. People couldn't provide for their family. And this particular man had tried every work could get it. He phoned people. He visited people. He wrote. He just couldn't get a job. So one day he was walking down the street and he walked by the zoo. Well, he said, you know, there might be a possibility here. So he goes in and sits down with the individual that hires and gave him his case. Of course, this man was concerned. And he said, I'm sorry, we just don't have anything. Well, the boy disappointed, they started to the door and the guy said, wait just a minute. Come back. We might have something. Our gorilla died and we don't have any money. We can't replace him. But I tell you what we'll do. We got a gorilla suit, and if you put it on, and if you get in that cage, and if you will act the part of a gorilla, we can pay you a little something. He was so desperate, he said, I'll do anything. He put on the gorilla suit, he got in the cage, and boy, he was entertaining everybody. He got so brave, there was a tree that came up out of his cage. And there was a lion cage adjoining. And that lion was ferocious. Boy, the kids and everybody was yelling. So he climbs this tree. He gets over to stir up that old lion. He gets out on the limb and he was shaking it. And the limb began to break. Help, help, he was yelling. The old lion said, shut up, you fool, you get us both fired. So, I've enjoyed that tremendously. And thanks to Jerry, we really enjoyed. So I'm here this morning hoping not to get Larry fired. And since I can't preach as well as he will, he's not scared. I just want to say this morning that Mary Catherine, my wife, and I want to thank you for this privilege to be here and share with you on this wonderful occasion of the 25th anniversary of the Jenkins Common Presbyterian Church. I made the statement in the early service that there might be one other that has spoken in both all three, the pulpit at the school and the one in the gym and this one. And I was just told by Larry you were unfortunate enough to have Ronnie Pinniger here on those three, so I'm not the only one. But it is a privilege. It's a great joy because we love the church and we're excited about what you're doing. Larry and I was talking the other day on the phone and he said, "How are you?" And I said, "I'm tired." He said, "What are you tired about?" I said, "I've been reading your newsletter and I get tired just seeing all you're doing." So we're enjoying that and we enjoying that we have had a part, a little part, positive or negative, in the life and history, unwritten history, of the Jenkins Comer Presbyterian Church. What we were and what we did is in the hands of the judge who is the divine and holy presence of God. There are many stories that could be told. There are many people to be recognized. But we are not here for that this morning. We are here to recognize the one true and living God. And our scripture this morning is that pertaining to that one person. Because we have a person religion. And this is what this scripture pertains to. Everybody knows the scripture. It's at the very heart of the New Testament. It is the very heart of the Bible. And that person is throughout the Bible. In fact, the third word in the Bible introduces him. But we find this statement: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is a judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So I've come today not to elaborate on the past, not to elaborate on stories, but truly to preach. Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, buried, resurrected, and living forevermore as the head of the church. No one else shall ever take his place. Over the last several months, I felt a great awakening in the reality of a question that I think that ponders all of us and is important in everything that we do or think or say. And that is the question: who is Jesus Christ? Who is he in our life? Who is he in our church? Who is he in our business? Who is he in our family? Jesus Christ is certainly the very center of everything this church is and ever does. Not only this church, but every church. And so I come to say this morning to you and to myself that a living person, religion, is what we are, who we are. He who is the sinner, and that nothing shall ever overcome. So we are to apply our lives to answering this question as we develop the church and work in the church, and as we develop in our relationship with others, Because as our relationship to Him goes, so goes the church. So first of all, we must truly know Him, the person Jesus Christ, as a living person in all creation. We hear John, the great apostle, the one that Jesus loved. That's what the Scripture said, but I say it's the one most easily loved. Jesus loved them all, but John was most easily loved. And so John says this about who Jesus is. He said, in the beginning with God. Jesus was in the beginning with God when nothing else existed, when no other person was except God. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. So John said Jesus is eternal. He had no beginning. He has no ending. Eternal to abide with us always. Then this great creation, as we look about us, we try to understand it. Scientists are trying to explore it. Man is trying to go into outer space and the depths of the sea. Every way you turn, man is studying. Even the medical field is studying that which they do not understand. Jesus, John said, He brought it all about. He made all of it. All things were made through Him. And without Him, not anything was made. Isn't it glorious this morning that we know the source? That we know the cause of it all? Even though we don't understand it, by faith we know that God did it. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Creator. He is in charge. It is His. We say that this is my wife, this is my husband, these my children. This is not so. Every one of them is God's. He gives us the fellowship and relationship for a period of time. If they're God's, they deserve our respect, our love, our compassion, and our friendship. Yes, Jesus Christ, what power, what majesty, what supremacy does Jesus Christ hold concerning our life? Every one of us. Because He did it. We didn't just happen on the face of the earth. Jesus Christ brought us here. He's in charge. He is the living person in the creation. He didn't create it and just pull apart and leave it. He's active in it in every phase. A scientist, you know, sometimes we as human beings get smarter than we are or think we are. So he decided he could build a man. So he told God, I'm going to compete with you and build a man. God took him up on it. And the scientist reached down to get a handful of dirt. God said, make your own dirt. Make your own dirt. So it is that all begins with God. And as we look about us, we are God's. And we're doing God's work. We're living in God's creation. God is providing. And God provides well. Secondly, Jesus is a living person in the church. Jesus is a living person in the church. We have organization necessary. We have administration necessary. We have Christian education. We have all of this. It's necessary.